Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that. We
need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners.
We won. We won. We won.
WGA strike is done.
It's been six days. So all the electricity is out, but still, we won.
Yes, because when we recorded the last intro, we didn't know we had won at the time that we recorded that intro. By the time the episode dropped, the winning was out there.
Yeah.
But here's the first intro you're getting is people who got a lot of gains, honey.
Who, as people who used their labor power in solidarity with all the other writers to bring the studios to their knees.
We actually got a lot of the stuff we was asking for. We attended like a virtual member meeting afterwards when they kind of broke down the gains and the various parts of the contract, and that was helpful for me to see, like, oh, okay, they really did something.
Yeah,
they got a lot of things and things where they're like, this is, they kind of explained why certain things were incremental, and I was like, okay, I hear you, I'm on board. I'm excited, I understand.
I know, when we first read it, we're just like, I don't know if this is good. I hope it's good.
It felt a little lackluster, because part of me is like, you know me, I'm petty, I'm rageful, so I want them to bleed them dry.
Yes,
I want them to bleed them dry, because I said we asked for $429 million worth of asks over the course of 3 years and got $233 million. And I said, well, that's only half.
Oh, yeah.
Because I come in there, I say, take them all. Take it all.
I want one of the things to be like, the studio heads have to, like, be buried under sea or something like that.
Right. Like, it has, like, that Game of Thrones, they've, like, walked down Nile, someone yelling shame. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted.
That would have been great. Yeah.
That would have been fun. You know what I mean? But that's not how negotiations work. Okay,
no.
You guys, that's not.
Apparently you can't ask for that.
You can't put that in a legal document. No, you can't. But no, we're ultimately so happy and also grateful to be part of a union that really steps up. Part of a group that steps up. The negotiating committee, shout out.
The love, the solidarity I feel, the gratitude I feel for the WGA Board of Directors, for the negotiating committee, Naomi, for our brothers and sisters in the union.
Siblings in unity.
For the siblings.
Honey, everybody who came through. The strike captains, lot captains, people who were out there. And a lot of the captains, too, the people who were out there on the front lines, those were young POC who got roped into them jobs, okay? And they said, okay, bet. You want me here? I'm going to do this. And they did it. And here we are on the other side. So that's very exciting.
Thank you to all of you who went on this journey with us through the medium of audio. Thank you for everyone who supported us on the Patreon during this. I mean, I don't know if we're getting another paycheck again for the rest of the year. So please still.
Yeah. Like
still support us on Patreon.
Interesting though, is the extent to which it's like, you know, you thought the strike was over and then it said it was like, the strike is over. As of midnight Tuesday, we're officially off strike. So you almost thought there was going to be like a flip of a switch and then suddenly, you know, Hollywood was going to start calling. And it's like, no, people ain't worked for 5 months. They don't know what they doing.
No.
So suddenly like everybody's like, okay, what are we doing? What's happening? Wait, is the show still going? Is the work back on? So it's gonna take a while for things to get back up and moving.
They flipped the switch and then they were like, by the way, here's a bunch of canceled shows. And we're just like, oh boy.
So it's gonna take, it's, you know, it's not back to normal, but certainly there is renewed energy that comes from getting a lot of the things you asked for.
Yeah.
And also having
AI protections, no AI.
Hello.
Some plagiarism machine cannot spit out some shitty script and then they're like, I guess we'll make this.
Yeah. Nope. Or be like, here, we'll hire you to rewrite it for a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
So what if it was written in Wingdings? Chop chop.
Who cares? This is just content slop for the hogs. Who cares? That's their mentality. Just content slop for the hogs. We want to make art, Naomi.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I go that far.
No. I pitched a show about a man that marries a talking toilet. Come on, that's art.
No, that is art. That's high art. That's art in Sweden or something.
Hey, speaking of strike stuff, we got a question, Naomi, that I thought we could do here in the intro. This comes to us from Hi, Andy and Naomi. Love the pod. I work at an electric utility, and we are possibly heading towards a strike.
Ooh.
Our contract is up in 4 days, and today we passed a strike authorization vote.
Yes.
Although I obviously don't want to have to strike, but I do want to be prepared if we do. Any suggestions on what to put on my picket sign? I want to be the funny girl on the picket line. Or any tips for the picket line in general? So happy to hear about the WGA strike ending. Union strong, baby.
Well, of course, you want to release.
They want to stay anonymous, so you'll hear a bleep earlier when I bleep their name. So, okay, anonymous.
Anonymous said, how do I let them know I'm the cool one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, on the lines. So, you know, we're going for pithy, we're going for punny. That's the vibe.
Yes.
You know,
I would print out that Simpsons episode where they were striking at the nuclear plant.
Okay, print out the episode.
And yeah, print out the entire.
So, what did you say?
Print out the script. Put that on your finger. No, there's like some lines from it that would make. I saw people put it on their signs for the WGA strike from Lisa's folk song. You know, we have the something, they have the power.
You know, when you say Simpson stuff, I don't know what you're talking about. So as soon as you remember this, my eyes just kind of glaze over and I'm like, I don't really know. I mean, what if we're saying something like, you know, electrical utility? So we're giving like lights out on bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you want to say bullshit on a sign because that won't really get picked up, you know, in print.
Or how about lights out and you have a caricature of the CEO of your company and you're hitting them in the head with a hammer?
Don't do that because that's Andy's vibe, you know, because he was really name checking Zaslav repeatedly in his signs. I said, you ain't going to sell nothing to HBO ever. But so you don't want to go that dark, but something like that. Or what if you're like, you know, UNITY. On the UTILITY, understand unity, utility, you know, let's have some fun with that. Let's see what we can mash up there, you know. What else?
We may be creating light, but our CEO is living in the dark.
Yes, that's cute. That's a vibe. That's fun. It's also giving biblical just a touch.
Right.
So that can really bring in a conservative base, support for the cause.
On the first day, God said, let there be light. On the second day, he said, give our workers what they're worth.
Pay your workers.
Pay your workers. That's
again,
a little
pithy,
too
pithy.
That's a little too wordy, but
it's,
you know,
a little wordy,
you can
but we
shorten
can get
it
there. So that's a good option. Now, for overall, you know, strike vibes, I mean, I'm sure we complained about it a lot, you know, and it's different because we're going into cooler weather. So you're going to need to dress accordingly. But honey, it's about layering. It's about a comfortable show. Oh, also, what if you had a sign that said, I shouldn't have to be here? I think that's like real relatable. Everyone will know. People will be like, why are you saying that? It's like, because I should be working for a wage that allows me to live comfortably, but they playing games.
Oh, what about a sign? It just has the address of where the CEO lives.
Sure. Docs. Docs.
No, don't dox him. It just says very subtly, I know where you live.
Don't do that. I don't want you on a watch list.
No, don't actually do that.
Don't listen to it.
Don't actually do that. Sunscreen. Make sure you got sunscreen.
Oh, yeah. You know, even though in winter, honey, that sun is never gone.
No.
Okay? You got to have the sunscreen.
Get yourself a Scabby the Rat to have out there. Get yourself an inflatable guillotine.
Yes. That's also fun. Don't do that. Don't get a guillotine.
No, don't.
You're going to get people arrested up in this bitch.
The difference between our union and other unions is our unions have millionaires in it.
Well,
cops aren't going to roll up on the guy who created...
Everybody loves Raymond. Yeah. No one's arresting him. But speaking of, SAG is still on strike. Again, at least as of the time that we're recording this intro, SAG goes back to the bargaining table Monday. So when you hear this, that will be yesterday. They went back to the bargaining table. But who knows how many days it'll take for them to hammer all that out. But SAG is still on the picket lines, and when we think that is because again, not only am I in SAG, so I gotta hit them streets still, but it's also a union with a bunch of millionaires and recognizable faces.
Right,
they ain't gonna arrest nobody on the SAG lines.
No.
You know what I mean?
No cops
getting Adam Scott.
Yeah, no cops gonna roll up on Adam Scott with a baton and smack him in the head. No,
and they'd be like, "Here's your severance." You know, like that's not gonna happen.
Here's Splitsville for you. that's what the cop thinks severance is called. Splitsville.
No, he actually thinks it's called like Splits Creek. He's like confused. He's like, is it a comedy? He like thinks it's Parks and Rec, thinks it's Schitt's Creek, doesn't know what he's watching. He just calls it Splits Creek. But yeah, that's not gonna happen. But yeah, be safe, have what you need, make sure you know where your nearest bathrooms are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would do a lot of gaming it out. So I made it so that I would not have to go to the bathroom
while
I was out there. Which is also, that means I'm also not taking in enough fluids. When it was 100 degrees,
oh,
I was not drinking enough water because I didn't want to have to go to a public bathroom. But you got to be prepared. You gotta know where your bathrooms are, you gotta know where the clean ones are. You got to be ready for that. Now, Andy, can I toot your horn a little bit?
Sure.
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean?
Andy recently dropped.
Oh, it wasn't a sexual thing.
Of course it wasn't, Andrew. He over here turning down the volume of my mic because I said that too loud. I said, girl, don't you be saying stuff like that. You know, I would be like, I'm not coming here to company acting a damn fool.
So, what do you want to talk about?
You recently dropped the 600th episode.
Yes.
He is so silly because we planned him. He recently dropped the 600th episode of his podcast, Beginning.
Yes.
You guys, 600 episodes.
Ben Edlin, the creator of The Tick, one of my favorite shows, very formative for me as a comedy person, comedy writer. So it was a really good episode.
And also just
he's a cool dude.
They're 52 weeks in a year. Andy's got 600 eps. He's been doing this podcast for so long. I mean,
how long I've been doing the podcast for? You said he's been doing the podcast for so long, and then I go, how long has he been doing the podcast for? And you go, the last time when he started, Methuselah was still alive.
He know I ain't gonna pick that up and do something like that. You know that's not gonna be the response.
When he started it, Pangea was still around.
So the point is, I'm very impressed. I'm very proud of you. You've had wonderful guests over the years. You know, I always say, like, Andy was doing a podcast before it was hip and cool.
Yeah.
And I remember when we moved in together, or even before we moved in, when you were living in Greenpoint and you were doing your podcast, where I was like, you get people to show up to a random dude's house in Brooklyn to talk? I said, what? And then when we moved to Harlem and we were looking at a fifth floor walk up, I was like, people are coming to a fifth floor walk up to talk to you? Like, I did not understand.
People did.
They did. Gerard Carmichael did.
Yeah.
Came one night at like midnight after a show or something crazy.
I was at the Cellar or something.
And then he was like, yeah, I'll come uptown to do a podcast. Like, before it was even a thing that, you know, people were used to doing. But you've been doing it for so long and getting so many great guests, people to show up, and I'm just like, I'm happy for you.
Oh,
I'm proud of you, honey. You also do it for the love of the game. Beginnings is not, you know, you're not doing ads or anything like that.
No, it's
like,
the one thing that I have not monetized in my life, so that can be pure in some
That's
way.
That's true, because you monetized my love. Okay, he monetized my love. But he said Beginnings is pure. It's pure. It's untouched. And he is wonderful, wonderful guest. So I'm just tooting your horn to say 600 beautiful episodes.
Beginningspod.com, wherever you get your podcast from.
47 magical years of podcasting. So I'm very, very proud of you.
It was. I started as a, first it was, you know, against Nixon. That's really where it started. It was an anti-Nixon podcast.
Yes, 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 yes. And those are the early apps. No one can find those. And while we're plugging, you already mentioned the page, but you know me. I'll be out here to tell you that I'm still on SAG strike. Hopefully not for too much longer, but...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you know, this whole, you know, as a 5-month strike will get you. You know, it's, this year has been tough. It's been a little tough. We started strong with a wedding. Okay, we did. We had a wedding. And then things took a turn. So if you would like to join us on the Patreon, again, no press. You know what you can always do? Just continue to listen. Leave a 5-star review. Don't cost nothing. Maybe a little bit of time. But hopefully you enjoy that time. But if you have it in you, if you are able, visit us at patreon.com/couplestherapypod. Get 2 bonus episodes. Most recently, Andy and I did do a House Hunters International watch along. Mm-hmm. It was a little chaotic. It was, I don't even know, but we had fun. And so make sure to visit us there. And okay, I'm done plugging. Okay, I'm done.
Who's our guest today, Naomi?
Who's our guest?
Who's our guest? Our old friend? Who is this? Who is this?
The one, the only Joe Firestone.
Yes, Joey Fires.
Joe Firestone, the best in the game. Actor, writer, comedian. All right. Latest venture? Homegirl wrote a book.
Mm.
Okay. A book that is called Murder on Sex Island.
It is great.
Sold? Are you sold? Because I'm sold.
Genuinely very funny.
It is funny. It's also like, it is a fun mystery. As someone who likes to read a mystery, and we do talk about that in this episode, I said Murder on Sex Island's doing it. As we've had the last few episodes, the link to purchase Murder on Sex Island is in the show notes. Okay, so don't say we didn't tell you. Don't say you can't just click that link and then go to the thing and then get that book. All right.
Joe's reading it as a free audiobook as a podcast, by the way, too.
Right. So you can also get the Murder on Sex Island podcast.
But make sure you buy the book. Okay.
Support it. Joe self-published, honey. This is a labor of love. Okay. So the least we could do is buy a copy, read it. Even though I've been listening to the podcast, I want the hard copy because I want to be able to go back. Yeah. I want to be able to like kind of take it in and take it in as a whole. You know, sometimes I also just like a little tangible moment. I like the text. I like to be one with the text, Andrew. So you know what? Without further ado, I done told y'all what to do.
Roll it.
I gotta say just off the top that I've started to read a book recommended by Naomi, and it has really changed the way I think of her. So I just want to put that out there right at the top.
And well, don't leave the audience in a shroud.
I would love to know.
What is the book, and how has it changed your opinion of her? Or if not your opinion, your view
perception.
Of who she is.
Right.
Because
you did tell me this in a text message. You were like, "This, I'm learning about you." And I said, "Oh no, what are you learning?" So
is
break
that book
it down.
Ulysses by James Joyce?
It is close. It's a Jonathan Kellerman book, yes. And it's called When the Bow Breaks. When the Bow Breaks. And
yes.
It is a hard-boiled detective story. I did not know. I thought this reads like, it's like, my coffee was as dry as a bush in the Egypt. It's like, it's very hard-boiled detective. And I had no idea that it's gory. Mm-hmm. The detective is a 33-year-old retiree.
Well, this is the thing. He's not a detective, right? He is a child psychologist who gets embroiled.
He's
in the
a psychologist that studies children. He's not a child. It's not like he doesn't have progeria. Is
correct.
That what you're saying?
He is a psychologist of children, but as Joe has pointed out, he has retired at 33, and I do forget why. Because When the Bow Breaks is like the first one. Mm. Our lead, we're following a man named Dr. Alex Delaware, and Dr. Alex Delaware has retired.
Hey, it's me, Joey Pennsylvania. I'm here to solve a crime. Sorry, go on, Joe.
It is like. It's like this, like kind of like sexy LA. It's very LA.
Very
and,
LA.
It is like very dry. It's like, yes. You know, like even It's just dry as a bone. The narrator is like, he exercises, he likes to eat heavy meals, he loves to make love with his girlfriend, and he can't not leave a crime alone. And it's like, this is just, I really, if you had to tell me, like if you had made me guess what kind of mystery book Naomi would be into, I never in a million years, this one.
Really?
It's giving Maltese Falcon, is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, uh-huh.
Interesting. You wouldn't have put it, but you know I'm so dark.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's like, I guess, you know, I thought that maybe there, I thought here, either I thought it would be more like crude, like Mary Higgins Clark, like really like the child was taken and then the child was, you know, and it's like twisted and it, or like.
Crude
or,
and twisted. Hold on. Let's break this all down. The first thing you thought, I just want to underline this. The first thing that you thought of Naomi was that she would read something that is, in your words, crude and twisted.
Absolutely.
That is your, that was your perception of her.
Well, it's an option. It was an option is what she's saying. I'm not insulted.
Okay. What is the second?
I prefer that. I like to read that. And I you know, we're similar, you know, Sagittarius, whatever. And the, but then I, and then the other option was to be like maybe softer ones, like the Blueberry Muffin Murder, right? Like I could see maybe
what's
in a world.
That?
Is that real?
There's a whole genre of mysteries that's like, my cat solved the crime while I made muffins. And it's, I do think that in there is a world where you might like those as well.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It turns out the grizzled 33-year-old retiree, and I'm enjoying it. I find myself going through the pages quickly.
You go through the pages quickly. It really is, you know, just step by step, we're going to crack this case. The language is lean, okay? It's dense. It's not a hard read, all right? The Kellerman, it's an easy read. But it's also a fun time. And you really just get through it, and you're like, and I find, it's funny, you know, I haven't read a Kellerman in a while. My last Kellerman, you know, I didn't even finish it. And that's rare for me because I truly did not care who did it. I didn't care. I didn't want the answer. I was like, okay, I don't care. I don't care who did it.
You didn't even go to the end and read the last couple chapters or pages?
No. I was literally like, I don't care.
So Alex Delaware is your Bosch.
Yes, Alex Delaware is my Bosch. You know what it is, too? Alex Delaware, you know what I mean? He's, and I forget why he's already retired, but I just live for the fact that Alex Delaware is so wealthy, okay? And now, and again, I started reading this before moving to Los Angeles, so now that I actually know what he's referencing, because that'll be a good paragraph describing how he took the 405 to the 101 and the 110 to the whatever, and he's like, oh, the traffic at this time, but I'll go anyway.
Is it in real time? Does it take you 45 minutes to read his description of driving and traffic here? Does it, when you read it, does it feel like you are walking around a strip mall? Is that what you mean by it feels like?
There's a lot of strip malls in it, and then there's like, at one point he does say like he's complaining about eating an organic meal for $10, but I do think that this was written in 1985, so there is.
Yeah, that's high prices.
Yeah.
But what is fun, though, and I feel like I bet Kellerman was very proud of himself when he did this, right, is he works with Milo, a gay police detective who, because he is gay, he's like kind of ostracized, left to his own devices, where it's like he closes too many cases to fire him.
Wait, from the good guys, the cops? Yes. They ostracize someone
but
for being different?
They like, but like, because they can't fire him, but also they don't like that he's gay. So like, no one helps him. So it's like Alex and Milo are the pair, sort of. Basically, you know, Milo will be like, Alex, I need you to come assess this as a mental health professional. And then inevitably, he's like finding a body in an alley. And you're like, Alex, you're off the clock. You shouldn't be involved in this, Dr. Delaware.
Dr. Delaware has to get his hands in there. But he's retired because he invested in real estate. And
of course.
No.
Yeah, and he also had like a bunch of grants, and he was published a bunch, and then he started a private practice, and he overworked himself.
Right, right. But I
after there was a child molester that he handled all of his
patient, victims. Like all his victims, victims, exactly. But then this, it's just funny because I think they do say, because I'm like, you're 33. I mean, if you went through all the schooling, you've only worked for like 6 years max. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how did you overwork yourself? I think at one point they do say something about how he was like a kind of a child prodigy. So maybe he went to college at 16.
Yes, he did.
Dr. Doogie Delaware.
Kind of.
Doogie Delaware. Now that, Joe, let's write those. Yeah, okay. Alex Delaware.
No problem.
Well,
write
now
yourself.
You're an author. And
well,
I mean,
well, you can't, and you can't not say it. You can't, I mean, you can't not.
Well, obviously, you know, you're a dear friend. We know you so much. But something I thought we could talk about, or something that I thought was, I've always been very interested in, and Andy, feel free.
The lurid descriptions in Murder on Sex Island, is that what you're... Is that what you want to talk about, Naomi?
No, I guess I'm sort of... I wanted to talk about sort of how you are able to continually self-generate. Because, you know, you are someone who... it's, and I don't just mean, like, you know, doing stand-up. It's like you create things. Like, literally, the card game Fruits. Like, every show you do in New York is like a multi-layered experience. You had your daddy coming in doing puns at one point. There were a couple of years there. Sort of, where did that sort of come from? Now I'm feeling like it's like an episode of Beginnings.
No. Actually, I want to, can I preface this question with, Joe, you are you are someone with depression. Mm-hmm. Do you know like what flavor that is? Is it is it just depression? Is depression anxiety? Is, because I want to preface it with this question so that we can then say like whatever your flavor is, how do you surmount that?
Okay, I would say that right now I would say that I usually kind of go from anxiety to depression, kind of switch back and forth, keep it fresh. So yeah. I would say at the moment and for the last couple years, it's been anxiety. That's kind of the mostly thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that basically what happens is I don't enjoy the reception, right? Like trying to get the stuff out there, like getting people to read it or play it or whatever. I'm like very nervous. That part is really not pleasant. I'm so anxious about that part. Oh. And so it's like the part that I feel the most excited about and the most like kind of drive for is the idea and then executing it, right? And mm-hmm. so that it's like I'm not thinking necessarily about the how people are going to receive it. And so then once people receive it in a way that's like, oh, oops, it's a flop, then I'm like, okay, another idea. And so it's like trying these different things until I figure out something that's not a flop, right? So like that's the thing. It's like you have a bunch of pens in a jar and you keep trying them to see which ones still have ink.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's kind of how it feels.
But what makes you not just be like, I'll just get a pencil or, you know what, I don't have to write down anything.
Oh, like keep generating ideas?
Yeah, like you keep trying.
You could or throw the whole mug of pens in the trash and then go sit on the couch and eat Doritos.
That's actually interesting. Doritos do play a pretty big part of Murder on Sex Island.
Okay, we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, I think ever since I was like really young, I think coming up with ideas like I would like make the neighbors do plays and stuff. I think I've always really liked to try. I've always like really had fun with ideas, and that part without people like I almost didn't like it when like, you know, people would watch the plays that I made my neighbors do. You know what I mean? It's like that's not what it's for. You know what I mean? And so, I think that I think it would be, I guess it's just like that. Everybody has to be good at something, but I think it's like I can't really do sports. I can't really do many things, and I'm not very organized, and I have very few marketable skills, but I do think what I can do is I can generate ideas. That's what is something I found that I can reliably do for myself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But how is it just that the excitement of the idea overpowers the depression anxiety, or is there something else that's going on?
I will say that writing this book, this I really did think this was going to be a hit, like a huge success that I would like. I was like, I'm never going to have to leave my house again to do stand-up. I don't have to. I'm done. And I was like, I'm going to sell this book. It's going to be huge. And then, and so that was like getting me through a lot of, like,
the
I'd
juice,
been,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'd be like writing this book for days and days because I didn't have any work. And so I'd be writing this book every day for like, I'd try to get like 1,000 words a day.
Wow.
And then I was doing like 2,000 words a day. I was so jazzed. I was like, this is it. This is a hit. And then, like, truly nobody wanted it. And everyone was like, no, this is so bad. You
Which is
can't
crazy.
Send this out.
Because it's and great. So it's really, it's it reminds me that. Of like John Swartzwelder, you know, the Simpsons writer. He wrote a series of like comic novels.
Yes.
That are great.
He self-published, I believe.
I mean, I don't know what the market is, but they're great. Murder on Sex. I'm not saying that because we're friends. I mean,
well, right. Well, and also, too, like, especially somebody who, you know, you and I were talking, I mean, you know your mysteries, right? You know the genre. We're talking hard-boiled. And for me, it's just such a perfect synthesis of the genre, which is like, how are we going to crack the case? This person who's like an unlikely hero, but then also with your sense of humor. You know, and like kind of what it takes to do that, right? Meaning be both humorous, but also keep the stakes high and the tension high. It feels like, you know, you do that in such a good way. You guys, there is a Murder on Sex Island podcast, all right? Joe is reading it in installments. It's beautiful. It comes alive. However, you do need to purchase the book.
But wait, I want you to move
Thank
units.
You.
Yeah, we got to move units.
I appreciate that. Move units, for sure, move in units. But I do, yeah, I just think that it was like, and I think that part, like, when I started getting all the rejections, I was like, ooh, it's bad. And then it's kind of hard to keep going on it, right? Because usually you find out it's a flop only after you...
It's out there.
Yes. And so this was like a pre... like an early... so I don't... I guess I'm wondering how... I guess I started to... A lot of times... I don't know if you've ever tried to get a book published... Basically, you get some rejections, which is great to hear. I mean, great to actually get a rejection, but it's like job applications where a lot of times you'll just never hear back ever.
Right.
And they say that after a certain amount of, after like 2 months, it's a no.
Uh-huh. Right, so right. Just, they've had that time to read, so just assume after 2 months, just move on.
So you're ghosted by their editors.
Yes, and or agents or whatever. And so then, I think then at that point I had written a full book. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, it might be just, I think at this point, maybe it's worth it just to put it out there. Because if I just keep it on my computer, I'll think it'll make me upset.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So part of sort of the sense of completion is in the putting it out there. When we're talking about kind of ideas and sort of, as you said, like, okay, I like the idea. But kind of until it's out, it's not quite done.
Or no,
yes.
Like the upset. But I meant
she said yes.
I say yes, Andy.
But I'm gonna add the wrinkle in there. Which
oh,
is that
he's
I
got
think,
a wrinkle.
Oh yeah, okay. Let's hear the wrinkle.
What you said is that it would make you upset. It's the there's a negative feeling attached.
That's the lack of completion.
Yes.
Yep. All right. You know what? Hey, when you're right, you're right. When I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
Yeah, no,
I've been through enough therapy to know I can say I'm wrong and not lose any credibility.
I think there's honestly, we've all had 100% credibility this whole time. I will say, yeah, I have all these like I started putting up these like when I stopped getting work, I put up all these like note cards of like stuff I wanted to try to make. Oh, whoa. Don't. And I was like, and I put like stuff you got to do to make that thing happen. And for the Murder on Sex Island card, like all of these things that I thought were necessary are crossed out. Like get book agent, like make get it to like 80,000 words. Like, and then I ended up crossing all that out and just put self-publish. And that has been, you know, good just to kind of have it done.
Yeah.
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 But do you feel like you have created something that is good and you put it in the world. Do you feel like it's not valid because there were, especially in a difficult time for publishers where I don't think they're taking a lot of chances? Do you feel like it's not valid because you have taken the reins? You know, to me, I come out of like the indie rock world.
Oh, he loves taking the reins. He's saying, "I'm just like, yourself." He's into DIY.
But there's this. But what I found is that yes, but because we're in this world where you do need some validation from gatekeepers in some way, or not need, but like it's not just indie rock. You can't just like put an album on Bandcamp. You know, you do like you do need someone at one of these companies, right, whether it's, you know,
a publicist or an agent, or
someone
an editor
to say yes to you if you like, depending on for the things that we want in this. And that's where I find is the contradiction that exists in me, at least, is this kind of push to like, no, I'll just do it myself. And also like, well, please, you know, please, CEO, executive, pat me on the head. Tell me I did a good job.
Right. I guess I have found in working in this industry that I have never felt this. There's never been satisfaction in any of the gatekeepers being like, you did good. Like, it's never felt, do you know what I mean? Like, even in those rare instances where they're like, nice work. It's like, what? Okay, what about, okay, does that mean that I get to do this? And they're like, no. And so there is just like something where it's like, oh, after a certain point, you realize that that's kind of meaningless. And so it's like, the only thing you can do is make stuff. And so, yes, on some level, I'm like, well, it's never going to be in a bookstore, or it's also not going to be like, it's not going to be maybe even, it's very DIY in every sense of the word. And in that case, it's like, you know, I think in some ways, it's like, because it's DIY, I could just do whatever I wanted. And there's probably scenes in there that if someone, a gatekeeper saw it, was like, get that out of there. You don't need, why is there this woman named Sheila that keeps talking about garlic? And it's like, well, I needed that. I wanted that in there. You know what I mean? And it's like, why are there so many mentions of Doritos? Probably your editor would be like, take out the Doritos. But, I know that there it's not a perfect book by any means, but I do think that it's like, on some level, it's what I wanted to do and I did it. So that's enough in some ways.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that you're able to do this, you know, is just so impressive. And so it's like, because I remember having those feelings about creativity and writing where like I would get an idea and like stay up writing all night, you know, or like, and I still do love the moment of having an idea. Mm-hmm. But the moment I hit a block, like hit the difficulty of like, well, what's the story or what happens next or whatever? The wind comes out of my sails, and your girl has drowned. And it's amazing how it doesn't.
It's not just the wind that went out of the sails. It's now there's a hole in the ship.
Oh yeah, the whole thing's over. The whole thing's over. There's no wind. The boat can't get nowhere. I don't run out of rations. I don't even know how to man a boat. It's a wrap.
Rations.
It's a wrap.
The life preserver has a hole in it too.
Honey, we're done.
You're just a hand waving from below the waves,
reaching out.
Yes, that's like what happened. Right, where it's like that's when I was hearing all these no's. And like getting like no response from the people that I'd send it to, I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's like there's nothing, why did I even start, this is so stupid. And I did at one point tell my boyfriend, I was like, oh, I think I should write another one maybe because it kept me so busy. And he's like, please don't do that to our house. And it's like there was a lot of ups and downs in making something. And I do think that it's really important to show your work to people while you're making it, mm-hmm. because it gives you some kind of incentive to make it presentable. Yep. But I think you need to show it to people, not to gatekeepers or to people that are even powerful. It's so important to just show it to someone who will say even one nice thing about it.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, you're that person for me a lot. Because to me, like, I think you're so smart. Your brain works differently from mine. But you're also very strengths-based. Do you know what I mean? Like, you will literally be like, this is wonderful. How about maybe we do this? Do you know what I mean? But you always start with, like, this is it.
<It's> like, but I really like your writing a lot. So I think it's easy to do that. But I think it's like, if I think it, when you're right, it's just so much easier to feel when you're getting stuck in that rut to like get somebody to be like, go keep, it's right there. It's right. And then you're like, okay, I'll keep going a little bit because it's not, it really isn't in a tunnel. And even when it is written in a tunnel, it's like, then eventually someone's going to have to read it.
Joe, are you in therapy?
Yeah.
How long?
Well, on and off, but this, I've been with this one woman for a while, but she's, yeah, she was like, I think it was good that you wrote a book because you had something to do. It's like, okay. Yeah, I suppose that's, yeah, but she's like, she's, yeah, I've been with her for a little bit. We started going every other week.
Oh, what made you do the every other? Financial, or you really felt like you had a handle?
Yeah. 400 an hour?
Honey, it's NYC.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned, too, where you were you're like, oh, I'll write another one, and your boyfriend was like, don't do that to our house. How does your creativity sort of manifest and impact the house? Is it something where you have tunnel vision and you don't do anything else, and then you're living in squalor? Or what?
Well, I would get up and write because in the morning I was working better than in the night. Mm-hmm. So I'd get up in the morning, make myself a cup of coffee, take the dog out, whatever, and then I would just write for hours. I'd smell horrible, no shower, like horrible. And then like at the end, and then like at like 5, I'd be like, oh, time to take a shower. Oh, and then I'd be like, Mike, what do you like? This is what I worked on today. This is it. Today was, and then like he'd be like, okay, great, and then like try to keep up with it. And then I think what really was the kind of emotional part was just hearing all the rejections. That was the part where it was like he had to be a big supporter.
So it wasn't like, stench based. It was
no, it was but more emotional. I think that was part of it. I think to have someone so smelly ask for so much emotional support, it's really it's almost too, you can smell good and ask for emotional support, or you could smell bad and be strong, you know what I mean? But there's,
well, Andy, what do you think? I mean, as someone who
that
does live with someone who's
absolutely
stinky.
True.
Okay, well, absolutely, this is how we find out. This is why we podcast.
Yes,
so we can really get to these issues.
This is why we podcast.
Everyone but, say it. This is why we podcast.
But yeah, it is like, I do think that it's, Mike actually self-published his poetry book a couple years ago. And okay. So he was like a big self-publishing advocate. He was like, just do it. Just do it so you have a book. And then it's cool to have a book. Just stop worrying about these people when they don't know you.
But his was just... He called it My Leaves of Grass, and he took all of Walt Whitman's poems, and he just put them in new fonts, and he said, yeah, I did this. It's called a postmodern remix.
So, of course,
yeah. So, yeah. Of course you would have to self-publish that. Yeah. That's the thing. But, no, I want to go back to the therapy thing for a second, because what I'm curious about is the depression, anxiety stuff. How do you deal with that in general, not just in terms of creativity, but in like your life period? And how has it waxed and waned over the years?
How has the depression and anxiety affected my life, and how has it affected waxed and waned over the years? That's the question.
Well, sort of, what do you do aside from your creative work to manage the A&D?
Oh, to manage it. Yeah, that's a good question. I do. I do not know. I feel very, very anxious all the time. But it does help to be around people. That has been the big thing that I've noticed. Or to have something creative that you are excited about. Those are two huge things.
Right.
If you were like, sit, I think that those are the big things. Those are the big ones that make you feel like less focused on your own anxiety. But left to my own devices, I'll look on Instagram, I'll see what the CDC posts, and then that will be the end of the day. The day is done.
I gotta stop
following the CDC. I really do. I can't tell you how bad it is.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad in general. I'm mad at them as a whole. So you got to stick with the NIH. All right?
Okay.
CDC, out of here. NIH.
NIH. Now, they conduct their own scientific experiments. It's peer-reviewed. There's where you want to go.
Right. It doesn't have the political bent. Okay, we're looking at Joe through a prism.
I know.
Right.
I'm sorry.
The
I don't know why it's so
The sun
funny.
In New York is coming through and just rendering this into an impressionistic work
sorry.
Of art.
I keep trying to find an angle, but it actually just gets worse and worse. But, okay.
This Joe Firestone is brought to you by Matisse.
I mean, the fact that Joe even has an open curtain, I was like, huge, huge. That's growth.
Huge.
Because I'm a person, the shades are drawn. The shades are always drawn. There's a little bit open so that for the purpose of the podcast, we're like lit. But yeah. Honey, the living room's a cave.
Yes.
And that's a choice.
That's good, though, because I feel like sun in LA is different. It's
Thank
a hotter
you.
Sun.
Thank you. It's aggressive. It's judgmental.
Almost like you are quoting Naomi's Netflix special.
Yeah, well, almost. I have watched it multiple times almost. And it's in me.
So wait, Joe. When it comes to relationships.
Yes.
How does both the depression, anxiety, and the creativity affect the relationships? Let's add a third thing.
Wow, a third thing, a monkey wrench. I mean, it's okay, I'll tell you this, because, you know, I love telling people what I think about them, and then they are, like, kind of on their heels, and they have to sort of, like, explain themselves. You know, the same way said,
yes.
You know, that you think I'm a serial killer, because I like Jonathan Kellerman. like, I think of you as somebody who's, like, has always been in a relationship. Do you know what I mean? And I guess I wonder if that is true, or if I'm just making it up, because I do make things up. You know, meaning, are you a person where you're like, I do like to be partnered, I want to have that person? Or do you fight off love and then finally give in?
Leaking in?
No, give in!
Oh, yeah, okay, I thought they were still in the boat. Okay, so I would say that I do like to be in a relationship. I like to be in, but I like to be in a relationship, not just for the relationship. I really do like to be with someone I like to be around. That does help quite a bit.
Sure.
But yeah, Mike and I, we've been together for a little over 5 years now.
Wow.
And yeah, and I'd say that it's like, you know, I think that I think that he thought I was chill when we started dating, and that's on him. I did not lie to him, but he somehow made that up in his mind, and then he was like, What happened to you? And I can't. I've always been who I am. So, but he's I think that it's very. I've learned that it's really important not to put all of your to keep all of it. Like the anxiety, especially. I think, when I share it, it's like a sneeze. If you sneeze out to the world, someone's going to get sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm leaving the house saying, I think the stove's on, then Mike's going to think the stove's on, right? And so I've learned that it's actually not helpful to share the anxieties as much as I'd like to. And so I've learned that it's better if I do think the stove is on, then I either go back inside and check it, or I just don't say anything, because even if the house burns down, it's better than making, an innocent man anxious.
You know what? You are so right, and that's something Andy and I are terrible at.
Yes.
We make each other anxious.
Naomi, I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, you and I are like, because we'll see something on Twitter, Instagram, and then yell it at the other person. And then to get it out of our brains.
Yeah.
It's mostly when you do something like that, it's, I need to manifest this in the world to mm-hmm. get it out of my brain in some way. But what we're doing is, it's like one of us was poisoned, like a snake bit us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sucking out the poison from myself, from my arm, whatever, and then spitting in your mouth.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, your boat metaphor wasn't disgusting? There are sailors out there. No, sometimes maritime, two sailors who have to be out on the seas
sometimes.
And think about a boat that's sinking, and you're coming around here with these maritime metaphors?
Yeah. Meanwhile, a snake is a creature that thinks he's beautiful, and then, you're sucking him off, and, you're spitting him out, and that's
yes.
cute.
A snake is a creature that thinks he's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway for today's episode.
We really have to work on it, especially vis-a-vis COVID. I think I think what it is too is like what I was like, I'm telling you to also kind of say like, I'm not crazy, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
Then it's both getting it out of your brain, because I do agree that's a big part of it. It's also, I'm not crazy, right? But now, as you said, you know, it's like I've sneezed, now he's sick. And then also it is another layer of just codependence, because we are the only people that the other person is interacting with, right?
Yes.
So like my thoughts automatically go. And it's like, and something that I think has been certainly started in lockdown, of course, right? When you're just used to talking to this other person. But I think in living in LA, I think the people I'm emotionally closest to don't live here in Los Angeles. So for instance, there's no one I would go get together with to sort of let it all out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And so then, oh, this guy. This guy's the one. He's got to get it. And because, I'll tell you this, because Andy be pretending like he chill. It's funny. It's like we kind of take turns, right? If I'm going crazy, then his job is to say, calm down. But I don't like if you say it too forceful, because that is implying that I'm crazy.
Yeah, of course.
You know what it's like? Say it gentle.
You know, in like movies like Shawshank Redemption or something like that, where they're breaking out of prison and they have to get rid of, like, they're busting through the wall in some way. They got like a little pick, and they're like somehow, and they got to get rid of all that, the rocks,
the rubble,
the rubble. Okay, if you got a large support system, you can let the rubble out a little bit at a time.
You're like, you take this stuff,
but instead, you take this now. You're like handing me all this rubble and saying, get rid of it all at once.
And then I've buried you, and now you can't escape.
Now I can't escape.
You know, say, now you can't escape.
You're running through the sewers.
And I said, come on, come on.
And I'm stuck back with all the corrupt prison officials.
We're in the sewers with the... Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you all. Yeah. We're in the sewers. Andy's buried alive with rocks. And we're... Yes.
I've escaped through the sewer. After picking away at the wall and the floor, but right. I've taken all that detritus and I've put it on Andy such that he can no longer escape. Do you understand, Andy, Joanna? Right.
Yes, listeners, and you know,
at the end of this, we're gonna have you vote on your favorite metaphor from today's episode.
And you know, I'll ask this: what is the prison?
Hello,
life.
Your mind.
Life is the prison.
Life. Systemic racism
exists.
America crumbling.
Christian fascism.
No,
so
right.
many. So
yeah, those
many.
Are pretty good answers.
Okay, I think that we've gotten a lot of background here, Andy, and we might want to help people help themselves.
Yeah. Joe, I just want to ask one last not to Columbo this, but before we take a break, I want to ask one last question. Is Mike your longest relationship?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, if we're asking one last question, my question, did you have relationships in high school and stuff, or was it not? And also, too, because like we share an alma mater, but I think you really hated it. So I'm also wondering, were you dating in college?
When,
like, kind of, yeah, when did it sort of start?
I dated in high school.
You did, okay.
Yeah, I had two boyfriends in high school. Pretty
wow.
cool.
Wow, yeah, you were pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then in college, right before my freshman year, I went on birth control thinking this was going to be a wild time.
Yeah.
Then my breasts became F cups because of it, you know, and not in the cute way.
From the pill?
In the long way. You know what I mean? F for long.
Long way.
Right. And so then, you know, and then I was just, you know, really kind of more interested in the dining options. And then, I did not date at all at Wesleyan.
Okay.
Not once.
Okay.
And then
once.
I don't believe, no.
That's just, it's so funny because, you know, of course, you know, obviously we have years apart. We didn't overlap there. But like, to me, you are the girl that every guy I liked had a crush on. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Like quirky, petite, smart. And then I was over here like a fucking lumberjack. Why don't you love me?
Someone came up to me that I didn't know very well because I liked to dye my hair red at the time, and you know, and it was very puffy. And someone came up to me that I didn't know very well, and they said, "Just so you know, we call you the girl with the Ronald McDonald hair."
No,
why would they say that?
Just
exactly.
So I knew. Just so I knew. So I just
Jesus.
I just want you to know that this was not. you know, I was not really the apple of anyone's eye unless they loved the chain McDonald's.
The picture between Ronald McDonald hair and long breasts. The picture.
I know, the picture you're painting.
Also, I went through a phase where I was writing my, I was like, I got so nervous I was going to lose my clothes.
What?
That I was writing my name in all my clothes and then started writing my blood type. I don't know. It was not a good time. I was not in a...
Were you medicated at the time?
I don't think I was.
Yeah, yeah. You were out here raw. You were just out. You were in Middletown, Connecticut, just unprotected, except for birth control. Everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that is how you go to a quick break.
We'll be right back after this.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office, okay? I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in Heather Gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop. And we're back with Joe Firestone, the author of Murder on Sex Island. That's how I'm going to say it. Joe Firestone, the author of Murder on Sex Island. Now, Joe, we're asking you all your business.
You should have done the audiobook.
No, really, your reads.
I really, man, if I could have gotten that soundbite, whoa, that would have been good. Okay.
What about this? Hey, it's me, Luella.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. Dang, I could have really used both of your help.
Remember that next time you need some voiceover people?
Yeah.
Me and Andy.
I need some voiceover people. Stan, I need some voiceover people. You got anybody?
The files! They're all mixed up. I don't know. You got it. Who do you know?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so I know these two. They're voiceover people. Yeah, that would be really good. Next time I'm standing next to a gatekeeper, you know I'll be name dropping you two.
Hey, gatekeeper. You want to open that gate? Now.
By the way, Joe, have you ever thought about this? In my most anxious moments, before I leave the house, I take a picture of the stove so I can always look at it.
Yeah. He takes a picture of the stove. Eddie takes a picture of the toaster oven.
If we go on a...
What do you call it? The socket.
Yes. I haven't done this in years, but in my most anxious moments, if we go on a trip, for sure, I take a picture of the plug where the toaster oven is to show that the toaster oven's not plugged in, the dials on the stove to show that it's off. So, you can always take pictures on your phone, and then you can delete them.
That's good. That's a good tip. That might save my relationship. I'm going to try that.
You're welcome, Mike. Now, we got questions from all over. We get them from Twitter, from Gmail, from Instagram, of course. Our absolute favorite is a voicemail. And Naomi, I'm going to say this. We put out a call a couple weeks ago for less serious questions, and listeners, you answered our call.
Wow, they needed the call. That's beautiful.
And so we have a less serious voicemail to start out with. Naomi, if someone else wants to call in with either a serious or a less serious question, what's that number?
323-524-7839. Remember, it's a 3-minute limit. You better start up top with the pronouns and the log line. Because don't you be confusing me. Don't you be coming up in here with all this backstory and you get cut off and I don't even know what the question is. Okay? Because I'm trying to help you.
Yes.
You got to help me help you.
Help me help you. All of us say it together. Help me help you. Okay.
Joanna said, I'm not on the hook for this. This ain't my journey.
Yeah.
Really am enjoying this. These roles.
You're like, I'm not in a group game. I'm not doing it, Harold.
I really love the instructions.
Joe, you don't understand how many people be coming in here over 3 minutes. You think I'm saying it to be mean? No, I'm saying it because we have been unable to step up in the way we would like because the question ain't there.
Naomi's saying this out of love. Pure
line and pronouns at the top.
Love emanating from her heart like venom from a snake's fangs.
Press play.
Hi, guys. Kind of feel like a crazy person right now because this is my third or fourth time re-recording this. I had no idea how nervous it would make me to call into a podcast, but here we are. I've never done it before. You guys are my favorite couple of all time, and I really trust and admire all of the advice you give, so I figured I'd give it a shot. Essentially, this is an employment question unrelated to relationships, but I have a feeling that maybe other people have experienced something similar, so I'd appreciate hearing what you think. I'm an optician in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I love hearing Andy talk about Pittsburgh and Philly. I grew up in Philly. But anyway, I'm an optician here. I've been at the same job for about 2 years, a little over 2 years. I think for the most part, it's a pretty great job. I am looking around, though, just to see what else is out there. And on Wednesday night, I logged on to Indeed for the first time in a very long time just to look around. And in my search, I saw my job listed. Yeah, my exact title, position, and office location. And it said, just posted. I obviously spiraled and you know, days later, still very confused and not sure what to do about it. There's really no reason for them to fire me or let me go. I could potentially transfer to another location that has come up before, but nothing is set in stone whatsoever. So I'm just very confused about what to do. I thought about bringing it up to my boss or maybe my district manager, but I obviously don't want them to know that I'm on Indeed looking at other jobs. Ooh. I thought about saying, well, my friend's looking for a job and she saw my job listed. But everything just feels really awkward and weird and I'm not sure what to do about it. Just if you have any feedback, that would be awesome. I love you guys so much. Thank you. Bye.
Actually, this is a relationship question in a way. You know, not a romantic, relationship. By the way, eat it, Zendaya and Spider-Man, favorite couple, Naomi and Andy.
Eat it. Suck them off. Eat it.
Are you just reading bits of Murder on Sex Island now?
Joe, what are your initial thoughts?
Oh, that is so tough. I think that the best case scenario is that this person gets a job somewhere else and leaves.
Oh, really? You think they should see this as a sign like, oh, they're trying to get rid of you, so you got to get out first.
No confrontation whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you non-confrontational, Joe, in general?
What do you mean? Let's move on.
Joe, have you ever had a job where you quit it or were fired? Where you didn't just leave it? Like, where you weren't just like, oh, the job's over, I'm going somewhere else, like, in that way?
Yeah, I've quit some jobs.
Like, quit angrily quit is, I guess, what I meant, really.
I don't think I've angrily quit, but I would say that by the time I quit, I think it's pretty understood that I'm quitting.
You know, uh-huh.
There's, uh-huh. But I'd say that this is, I think that this is the kind of thing where if they're so sneaky, they're going to post her job description before she even quits. I don't think these people are going to be good at problem solving when she confronts them.
Okay. Well, you're right.
Can I tell a story?
Okay.
So when I moved to New York,
I spent years
just doing like little temp jobs and like being unemployed, and it was not great. And I finally had a temp job at the College Board, and then they liked me a lot. So one of the people needed an assistant and hired me. And then over the course of 9 months, she didn't really like me. And one time I logged into her email because I'm her assistant. So I'm supposed to like weed through her email and like find stuff. You know, like when you're someone's assistant, you look through like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were doing it as part of your job.
Right.
I wasn't
right. Sneaking. Yeah, all right.
You weren't sneaking.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And I found an email from her to HR that said she wants to fire me because she doesn't like me. She's like, I don't have a real reason. I don't like him. And I remember it was a real Hitchcock Zoom.
Yes.
Moment.
Fully.
I felt like I was in molasses because it wasn't... I was great at my job. She just didn't like me. Didn't want me around.
Yeah.
And
there was nothing to fix. It's not like you could do something to make it okay.
I closed it and just started looking for a new job immediately.
Yeah. Mm.
And
do you remember at the time, like when you were looking at this email, did you know if it was like dated that morning, a couple days earlier? Kind of how quickly were you informed based on when she
It was that. I believe it was from that day. Yeah.
It's, yeah, because you're good at your job. So you're on it. But now... How quickly did you get out, or did you end up getting fired?
Oh, yeah, I got fired. Oh, yeah. They let me go. Well, I wasn't fired. I was let go. They couldn't fire me because there was nothing I did wrong. So it was just like a little letting go.
Yeah.
It was like, we no longer need your services. But, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Can we put her whole government name out here?
I don't remember her whole government name.
What do you mean you don't like my man? Yeah, he be saying stuff that I don't understand. Yeah, he didn't want to be there. He has creative aspirations, but I know he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, was it that I was... Well, here's... maybe this was... So there was a... I was deep in my UCB training at the time, and I think I was in like 301, and there was a retreat for the College Board, for our division, and we went to a... like someplace... kind of like in the Hudson Valley,
mm-hmm.
and we stayed overnight, but my class was that night, so I left the quote-unquote festivities early. You know, it was like you were supposed to like hang out and have dinner and get to know your coworkers.
Yeah, team building vibes.
I didn't want to be... I was in New York to do comedy, so I took the train all the way into New York, took my class 301 with all my friends, then we went to do an improv set at another theater. And then I went back at like 11 o'clock at night to the retreat.
Whoa.
So maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it was my enthusiasm for the Herald and for improv where she's like, this guy is a drip. All he talks about is Del Close.
Yeah. That could be it. I mean, I think the thing with this too, though, I would say, well, so on one hand, you're right, Joe, like start looking. But
yes.
I also think it's worth letting them know that you know, and I think you don't have to say, oh, I was looking for another job, even though fuck them, y'all both doing it now. It's like, I think
it's like the Pina Colada song.
Exactly. well, you both out here, so what's the problem? But I think you could also very easily say, you know, one of my colleagues from school, right? Like, if you're an optician, you probably someone who's like, hey, someone I know, you know, like a fellow colleague saw this listing and reached out to me about it because they wanted to know if I could put in a word. You know, there's so many ways. Like, for instance, that happened to me where I got fired literally right before the strike. I got fired from a writing job, like, not asked back. At like, it was like 1:30 in the afternoon. 4 p.m., I get a text from someone's like, hey, so I hear they're hiring over at your show. Can you put in a word for me? And it was literally like, and I didn't know them well enough to get into it. So I was just like, sure. But I think, like, it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, someone's reached out to me about this thing or someone told me something without it looking like, and then at the, and so the question is, like, if you do that, are you willing to hear from them in that moment? Yes, we have been thinking of making changes.
Oh, because there's going to be a long pause after that.
Right.
You're going to say that, and then there's going to be, like, 10 seconds of silence, and then they're going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe they have some spark of humanity left in them.
If they have a spark of humanity, it is a question of, like, and whether it's personal or not, because maybe they don't want to pay somebody as much as they're paying you, right? Like, there's so many reasons why companies can be like this. Yeah. But at least you can be like, hey, do I have 30 days? Do I have 2 months? Like, let me know.
I say find another job and start being messy. Like, why don't you, like, whenever they say, instead of saying yes to things, go, indeed.
Oh, that's good. That's,
and arch your eyebrow. I say, yeah. And then let it get messier from there. But yeah.
Andy's version of messy is just British. I love that. Indeed.
Indeed.
Just let them know.
That, indeed.
Let them know that you can. Know.
Okay. And then you just kind of walk out and you, like, leave the room. But I think so.
Does she know?
Part of me is just like, don't play games with me. And it's like, how do you see internet? You think I wasn't going to find out somebody, my job was up for grabs? Get out of here, you losers.
Yeah, call them losers.
But I know this is stressful, and I'm very sorry, because I can only imagine the ice in your veins, the Hitchcock zoom. But I think that, like, look, you were already in the process of looking. So as Joe said, keep looking. And I think that you can call them out if for no other reason than just, like, make them squirm and say, I know what you did last summer. You know what I mean? So, like, you can, but also know that if you do that, in that same conversation, they could say yes, and then you got to go.
Oh, I say start getting pre-revenge.
Oh, Lord.
So instead of waiting for all the stuff to happen, you get fired or whatever happens, start doing, get them a Permonte Brothers sandwich. It's a Pittsburgh sandwich shop where they put the fries right on the sandwich.
Sure.
Put something gross in it.
Andrew, stop it.
I'm not telling
and
them
then
what.
Afterwards, say indeed.
I got you a sandwich, indeed.
Joe, can you answer another question with us?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to do this one? This is a little more serious.
Okay.
Hi, Naomi, Andy, and esteemed guest. I'm she, her. And how do I tell my boyfriend that I didn't miss him? We've been together for like 6 years, lived together for 3. He went on a 10-day vacation, 7 of it was in middle of nowhere, 0 contact, 0 cell service. And yeah, I haven't had an interest in sex recently, which I'm trying to fix with reading Come As You Are, because love the sex negative life for you, but it's not for me. And I guess I have friends and my sister to hang out with on weekends. So maybe if he was gone longer or if they weren't around, I would have been lonelier. But I took myself on a little solo brunch date where I read as I waited for my food and then just was in the present moment and vibed while I ate and realized that if he was there, he would be on his phone or we would be talking about his thing because I can count on my hand the number of times he's shown interest in my life recently. The problem is me that I've not brought that up with him. That's a whole other issue. But it was just more peaceful and I could watch whatever I wanted without him complaining and clean or do whatever I wanted to do without worrying that I was too loud or I was in his way. And I feel like telling him I didn't miss him is something I should absolutely not do because it is unkind and it's very hurtful. But at the same time, something I absolutely have to do because he can't know the issue if I don't tell him. Which, yeah, not something I'm good at. I love you guys. I love your podcast. I recommend it to so many people. And it's already helped me through quite a bit by sometimes first-time caller, long-time listener. But sometimes I've formulated questions to ask you and just finding the right question answers what I need to do. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for what you put out in the world.
First of all,
yeah.
I love her because you know what she said? She gave me pronouns in a log line. Okay? She did what I had asked. And did you see how much easier it was to go on a journey, Joanna? To have the information up top and then extrapolate thesis supporting
evidence. For sure.
It's like you're teaching freshman composition at Wesleyan.
Honey, I'm teaching freshman composition. Get out your blue books. I ain't got time for this. So, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Did you have something you were going to say?
I was going to say, all together now, I think we know the answer, but Joanna, why don't we start with you? Because
you had some reactions, some facial expressions where I said, this is hitting.
Well, I think that if you have an issue with somebody, and especially if it's a relationship that you want to keep intact, or if you even want to just... If you want him to stay in your life, I think that, and that's a big if, but if you want him to stay in your life, I think saying that you don't miss him is a way to hurt him. And I don't think that that is productive. I think you got to figure out what you want out of him, which is for him to pay attention to your interests and for you to have a better sex life. So I think it's like, it's solutions based conversation is what I would recommend.
Right. Right. Saying I don't miss him is not actually what is true. Saying you don't miss him is being mean. That is not the same as, there are things we need to work on.
Talking through the thing. Break up with him. I don't mean this to be callous. I hope it doesn't. But, like, it doesn't sound like you enjoy. At Naomi's worst, I still want her around. Like, if you go away to go have dinner with a friend, I do miss you. I like
so beautiful.
I like my time on my own. Look, don't get me wrong. I get to play Zelda without Naomi making fun of Link's sounds because he goes ha 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 ha.
And I'm like,
I get to clean in whatever way I want because I clean in I do a little bit here and then I walk over and do a little bit over there and then I come back to the first thing, then I go clean a third thing, and.
Or you said you like to play your guitar when I'm not here.
I like to play my guitar when Naomi's not around.
Yeah, that's specifically,
you know, the Naomi's tolerance for hearing Guided by Voices songs sung on an acoustic guitar is pretty low. Mm-hmm, but I'm excited. Or I'm excited when I go hang out with a friend and then I come back and I'm like, oh, I got some tea for you, right?
Yeah.
That's always the promise of one of us hanging out with someone else. Okay, so that's only for like a couple hours. If someone's gone, like, I can't imagine you being gone for a trip and me being like, that was awesome. You should take more trips.
Well, this also, too, and again, I don't know you personally, right? Meaning I don't have anything to compare this voicemail to, but this is what I like about voicemail. You sounded a little defeated. I don't like that you sounded defeated. But what I'm saying is I could get a sense by the way you were telling us. You know, when you said... You can count on one hand the amount of times he's asked you about your life. When you said, I can watch something without him, I think you said getting mad at me or giving me a hard time, like watching what you wanted. Like, you know, and this is where, for instance, you said when you were like, break up with him, that's so much easier said than done, especially when you're cohabitating.
Hold on.
No.
I'm not saying it's an easy thing. I'm saying that sounds like
what like
you want to do.
It's telling to me... Because these are different things. Because I think, again, you've been together 6 years. You've lived together for 3. Your partner not asking you about stuff I just don't like the sound of it. I don't like the feel of it, you know, especially when you're around each other. Because here's the thing I would say, like, when you say, like, oh, should I tell him I don't miss him or whatever? Because initially, you know, I was anticipating a different kind of question and certainly a different kind of tone. And to me, like, I grew up as an only child. I do like to be by myself. I actually find it really hard to, like, just having Andy nearby, even if he's not trying to engage with me, because he's a lot better at just, like, putting in his headphones and kind of being in his own world. Whereas me, I'm like, there's someone here. I'm being watched, or I'm being witnessed, or I'm being observed. You know, I like to, like, have by myself a lot.
Cameras around the house. So technically you are being observed. I am feeling it.
So I'm not crazy.
I got my little, you know, in the office, I got my little thing, like, in Sliver with
all the monitors.
Stephen Baldwin or whatever it is.
But so that's, like, my own issue. So, like, if Andy, and there are times, and we talk about a lot, again, especially in the last 3 years, where I go, don't you want to go be by yourself? Like, I will say stuff like that. Sure. Like, I will. And so, and that's something, that's, again, Andy would never say to me. I don't think that's a feeling that he has. His parents have been together for over 50 years, and they do everything together. And so I also think it was modeled to him to be attached to your partner.
I do like my private time. I'm just saying that when we are apart, I do miss you, even if it's for an hour or two.
Well, no, and this is the difference.
But I also really love my... let's make this manifest. Let's make this real. I do love my private time.
But I think that but again, I'm saying, even me as the person who would probably be more likely to be like, no, I didn't miss you, if that was an option, I don't think I would feel that if you were off the grid for 7 days.
Right.
If I couldn't communicate with you for 7 days, I would miss you. Like, it's like, that is different. Right. That is, I think, something else. And when you said, for instance, I was able to, you know, have brunch by myself and not have to deal with his shit, basically, is what you said. It's like, I didn't have to hear about him talking nonstop, or he didn't have, you know,
or
sitting across somebody
on his
on your phone. You know, these are things that, again, no one's saying walk out the door, but as you said, this is not a I didn't miss you, but this is a conversation of I'm really not feeling like we're connected.
Mm-hmm.
And can we do some stuff? And again, if you listen to the podcast, you know, it's the same stuff we always say, which is like having a date night, getting rid of stuff, and just like so that you can focus on each other. Try some of that. And if you still don't get your desired results, tell him to go back into the woods for the rest of his life.
Yeah, go back
say
to
you want
Antarctica.
7 days, go be off the grid because I'm done with you.
Go back to studying John Carpenter's The Thing in Antarctica.
Go back to studying John Carpenter's The Thing in Antarctica.
But it sounded, I don't know. I don't think.
Look,
it, I don't think
she could have been tie. She could have been tired. So maybe it didn't sound.
I don't think a date night. I really think this sounds like. I'm not saying break up necessarily. I'm saying this is a larger conversation than just like, you know, let's go to Arby's and get $5 five roast beefs for five each, and have a date night. It sounds like go into couples there. Okay, here's your question. Here's the real question. Do you want to save this? Because I didn't hear a positive thing about him in this.
And that can happen sometimes when someone's posing a question. I think you're right, but I think it's true. Sometimes it'd be like, if you come to us, you better give us the full picture. Because I'm basing my response on what you done told me now. You didn't tell me nothing good about him.
When I blow off some steam...
Joanna is just so over me.
When I blow off some steam about you to some friends, I always say positive things in there too. Not because I am trying to... I just say it because it feels natural to say positive things about you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. I'm just saying that when all I hear is negative stuff and there isn't like but he does get me flowers or whatever, it makes me think there's bigger issues that need to be dealt with there.
Joe, are you somebody who knows when to fold them? When it comes to relationships,
or do you know when to hold them?
I hold, and then I fold. I would say that I think you have a good sense of it. It's like when I think that you want to look at them and feel happy, not dread.
Mm-hmm.
You want to feel like they give you something that you wouldn't have without them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that. My mom has like this, she really follows this one thing where it's like, does the person make you happier in your life rather than without?
Yeah.
There's a better way to say that. A value add.
Like, is there an appreciable, you know, improvement?
I don't even want to say it like that because that feels too like commodified.
I know.
I want to say
I love capitalism. And I think everyone is worth a certain amount in the world.
Write that movie where everyone has a secret amount. that's written on a card. That's what they're worth.
We've seen that Black Mirror.
Yeah, if they hug you, it's worth $5. If they kiss you, it's worth $7.
Does existence feel more robust, more full? Is your life more flourishing with this person in it?
I agree. I think these can be thorny. Again, when you're living with somebody, when your lives become meshed, it's like, well, you pay half of the rent. Well, I know somebody will call the hospital if I can't get up. Like, there are values to just having company. Uh-huh. So sometimes
you'll
think,
find my body. Isn't that what?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We were watching House Hunters, Joe, and like it was like a spate of episodes of just like late in life couples going to Central and South America because they think they could, you know, fucking show up there and live for $1.50. And then it's like, get out of here. No one wants you here.
Just cosplaying as colonial settlers.
Yeah, it's like, but it was people where I was like, you know what? This is a couple. They're just together because you hit over 50 and you go, I just want somebody to be there to find me. You know what I mean? I just want somebody to make sure I get it. Like, because I'm like, y'all are not a match as much as you feel like you need companionship.
You want someone to recognize the stench.
So that's how it's feeling. And I was like, that can happen to people. And again, you know, what we're telling you, we are not trying to be glib. And I always say, at least, it's worth always have the conversation and try to give it some time to course correct. But if it doesn't, you have to know that, like, when it comes to relationships, as much as Joe loves capitalism, you know, the idea of like sunk costs, we don't, in this household, we do not subscribe.
No costs are sunk in this household.
Like, subscribe. Like, you can't, like, don't feel like, well, I've been with this person this long, so I need to make it work. It's like, no.
There's nothing is, and even if you live together, and even if you split bills, it is easier than you think to distance yourself from that. I think there's always a way to get out of that.
Yeah.
If you need to.
So, you know, I actually want you to update us, okay? Because I ain't getting enough follow-ups in general. So I'm going to need you to tell me what goes on. If you have a talk, what the reaction to the talk is, how you're feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know how you are. Because this is tricky. It's hard. It's like, it don't feel right. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm reading Come As You Are, but I want him to go away. It's like, you come and he going. What are we doing? So I know Joanna's done with me.
Wait, Joe. You grew up in St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
Did you go to one of those, like, Klan balls? What are they called?
Yeah.
The mysterious stranger balls. What are they?
I think it's, what is it called? No, it's not debutante. It's something like that. Debutante.
Yeah, it is a debutante ball.
Yeah, the, like, coming
is that what
out
it's called?
Ball for Klan children.
Yeah. Did you ever go to
one
of those?
I don't think it's called, you know, Andy, I hate to remind you this, but I am Jewish. And that is a big thing, I'd say, in Missouri. Really, I reminded you time and again. You're always giving me Christmas presents, saying Merry Christmas, Hello Christian, and I have to tell you over and over.
Yeah, I gave you that crucifix with a real bloody Jesus on that
one year.
Yes,
and it's like I don't want to return it, but it's just collecting dust on my chest. So I got it. You know, I got to get. You need to get it. So no, I did not. But I think it's called something. It's called something specific.
Remember when I got you all those communion wafers?
Yeah, that was messed up. And you said, this, drink this. This is the blood of someone you know. And it was...
your favorite person. The one you worship all the time.
Andy, get me a normal drink.
We're going to get to that point, by the way. I think before society falls apart, where the Catholic Church is like... is manufacturing like a drink that is like the blood of Christ.
Oh my God. Like scissor. Like scissor, but it's Christ.
Well, it's kind of fun. Like Sprite or Cherry Pepsi.
Yeah.
Cherry Pepsi.
I can't wait till they have crystal blood of Christ. That'll be good. Wait, I'm going to look up the name.
Okay. Because Andy does like to close the loop on it, but sure, so he's got to look it up.
Let me see.
The Veiled Prophet Parade and Ball. Right. The Veiled Prophet. Right.
Parade and ball.
Have you ever been a veiled prophet?
No.
No. I think you need to be in certain social circle to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And also you need to, it's, I think it's preferred that you're, I just, I think that it's not really open to everybody.
Were you surrounded though by those type of people? Meaning, did you go to private school? Were there a lot of Jewish people in your community growing up? Did you have to really seek them out? Out of curiosity.
I didn't go to private school, but there were a lot of Jewish people around me, and I knew one person that went to that, that ball.
Okay.
And I remember, like, kind of being amazed that it was happening. I was like, what? What do you do? And, like, she had to get gloves, and I just, I remember kind of being very, kind of, like, awestruck by, like, what some teenagers were doing.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. Like, well, you know what, Joe? You're a veiled prophet to us.
No,
is that
that's
you,
not
how you want to end this?
No, it's not. God.
Andy, is that what you meant to say?
I thought it was a good thing.
Joe, I just want to apologize that we went out with a whimper.
And I just, I want to say to both of you, you are both, to me, masked goddesses. God, you know, and I, you know, I'm so grateful that we did leave on this note.
You know what? This is as great an episode as any.
Joe, you're one of
as
our
any,
favorites.
As any.
You are magic. You are a delight.
You are.
And we are
I so appreciate
you.
Being on this podcast. I love it. And I, every time I walk away thinking, dang, good time.
It did sound like Joe was being held at gunpoint when she said it, y'all, but she wasn't. So, you know what? We're going to end on that, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.